Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So I raised the issue there of the authority that the CIA would have in doing any of this stuff. What's there about that, Nick?
Well, this is what's interesting. The file, the CIA file that was opened on Milo Spiriglio, this writer and private detective, written three books on Marilyn. What's particularly intriguing is that, you know, Marilyn died in 1962, and the file that the CIA on Spiriglio opened was in 1982. So in other words, you know, we're not talking about the CIA was collecting information on Marilyn's diary way back in 62 when all this happened. For some reason, the CIA opened a file in 1982. And it's got all of the news, as I said, all the newspaper, magazine articles, all photocopied so the CIA could see exactly what Spiriglio was talking about and what his latest developments were. And you're right. If you want to spy on somebody in the US, it's usually done domestically by the FBI. This file on the newspaper and magazine clippings were collected by the CIA for the CIA.
So, I mean, that kind of suggests that they were looking into it themselves. Like,
yeah, they were. And we're
like
talking about,
yeah. Why would they do that if they didn't, if they knew already, right? It's like, okay, so what was really going on?
Well, the CIA may not have known all what was going on. Maybe that's one of the reasons why they started in the 80s to start looking again, retrospectively, into the story of the diary. That file, although it's the Spiriglio file, most of it is based on newspaper clippings that specifically talk about not just Marilyn, but specifically talk about that diary. And that's where somebody took a black marker and underlined those words, secret diary or diary of secrets. So somebody as late as the 80s was putting this file together. And we're talking about a woman who died in 1962, you know, 20 years after she died, before that, the CIA opened yet another file on Marilyn. For reasons we don't know. We don't know why in 82 the CIA kind of opened this file. One theory's been put forward is that 1962 is when she was killed, 1982 was when the file was opened. It may well have been because that would have been the 20th anniversary of her death. So it's entirely possible that somebody might come forward and blow the whistle because it's the 20th anniversary. So that might have had something to do with why the CIA opened that file, just to see if anybody was going to jump out and say, hey, you know, I've got this which I've kept for the last 30 years and now I'm revealing it, that kind of thing.
Maybe they're looking for patterns, too. I mean, it was, 1980 when John Lennon was hit. That guy said that he was told to do it. He had voices in his head that were telling him that, you know, John Lennon needed to die, right? And that's kind of harkens back to this other guy who had the feeling in his mind that he had to kill himself. And, of course, John Lennon saw UFOs over New York, and he was a popular figure, right?
The Nixon administration, and obviously that was prior to, we had Ford was president at the time that Lennon was killed, but the Nixon administration didn't like Lennon because he was a peacenik. All we are saying is give peace a chance. They tried to eject him from the U.S. He had to fight to stay in New York and never went back to England during that period of time. So now, of course, we have a period of time where Reagan's going to take over as president, where suddenly one day this crazy guy comes and shoots Lennon. Lennon's security wasn't that great shakes. I mean, he came and went to his apartment at the Dakota in New York, and I've passed that area, so I know where it is and everything, what it looks like. He'd walk around New York City. Nobody bothered him, or they'd say, "Hi, John, how's things?" So he was in a situation there where if somebody wanted to off him, it wouldn't be difficult.
No, and to sort of go back a little bit, I doubt, I'm absolutely sure that nobody in the elected government, so to speak, had anything to do with that. I think, again, it would be one of these, what you might want to call like an MIB, or somebody gets hired in the shadows, just get it done for us, here's the technology, and go for it, and your money will be waiting.
Still, the motive here, he's just a rock and roll artist, and certainly he'd seen better days. He hadn't been super active in the last few years. He was just coming out with a new album, but what big deal? It wasn't like Beatlemania. Why get rid of him?
Well, the important reason why I think people would get rid of him is because a lot of people listen to him. A lot of people listen to Marilyn, you know. A lot of people, you know, don't watch the news, but they listen to, fixated to, like, some kind of one of these shows with a bunch of women, you know, sit around having lunch and screaming at each other. You know, millions of people watch them, but they're, you know, that's what I'm trying to say, is the fact that, you know, if somebody listens, that's the important thing. John Lennon was someone who had the ability to influence a lot of people. He doesn't necessarily mean he would 100% have been able to, you know, to make people listen. But if there was just a 50% fear that he really could, you know, change things, well, somebody might just say, well, we better just get it done just in case he really is going to be listened to that degree.
Yes, but I'm thinking of timing here. Wouldn't that have been better done years earlier? Or would we assume here that maybe Lennon would have become a politician in the U.S., become an American citizen if he could, if he met the requirements, and then as an American citizen, he could run for any office other than president?
Well, yeah, but I mean, who knows what was going on behind the scenes? I mean, you know, I have to remember when John Lennon was killed in 1980, you know, he was actually having sort of like a resurgence kind of situation. He got a new album coming out, which was very popular. Who's to know where he might have gone from there? You know, he had a lull before that, but he was coming back potentially big time. And I can easily see how somebody might say, oh my God, have we got to go through what went on back with Nixon and John Lennon back in the early 70s? Have we got to go through all this again now in 1980?
There are stories here that said that in 1981, it's possible that Lennon would have hooked up with Paul McCartney, with whom he remained friendly, to try to write songs again. Now, if he and McCartney write songs and the other two Beatles decide to come together, there could have been some sort of Beatles reunion, which would have brought back attention to them. If you remember in the 90s, the remaining three Beatles got together and took some cassettes that John had prepared, labeled for Paul, songs that they would have worked on, and they completed those songs. So evidently that possibly was in the back of Lennon's mind.
I mean, you know, I think the important thing here, and a lot of people don't think of this, it doesn't necessarily matter if you're 100% sure or not that, you know, somebody's going to say this or blow the whistle on that. All it needs is a little bit of fear in the mind of this person or that agency to play it, you know, as best as possible. So let's just blow the person away just in case things go further, you know, and that kind of situation, I think is
scary. That's what it is. It's scary.
These announcements are not scary. Listen to them. Gene Randall and Nick You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $50 on our popular 4-week emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $50 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in this free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call them toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We have Nick Redfern. The book is Diary of Secrets, UFO Conspiracies and the Mysterious Death of Marilyn Monroe. And we've been doing these side trips into John Lennon and everything. And I wanted to get back to a couple of other topics, because amongst the cast of characters in your book, Dr. Robert M. Wood and Ryan S. Wood, and they're best known for their exploration of supposed UFO-related documents. Now, obviously we have the specter of MJ-12. I'm sure you don't believe in MJ-12 any more than I do you, Nick?
No. No, I don't, no.
So what is the participation here of the Woods?
Oh, well, that's easy. What happened was that in 2002, Timothy Cooper, who was a UFO researcher in the early 1990s and who claimed to have been given all these sort of stacks of MJ-12 type documents that talked about alien autopsies, dead aliens, secret UFO programs. Well, Cooper started to circulate these documents all over the place, you know, for anybody to see, and hand them over. And they were kind of just like the MJ-12 documents that Stan Friedman championed for years. Now, the time came in 2002 when Cooper decided to sell all his material, all these files, and he sold it all to Bob Wood. And Bob asked me if I would be willing to spend like about 10, 12 days out in Orange County where Bob lives to essentially go through all of Cooper's files and do an inventory of them all. And within that stash of material that Cooper sold to Bob Wood, what happened was that when I did that inventory, and I was literally in Orange County in a hotel room for about 9 days with thousands of pages spread all across the hotel room floor. And that was the bizarre situation. And now all these files, when I finally completed the inventory for Bob, or as I was going through, I should say, I found one particular folder which had all of Cooper's material on Marilyn Monroe. What's interesting is that Cooper was clearly aware of the UFO Marilyn connection as early as 1991, and the document did not surface till 1995. So that's still a mystery. I talk about that in the book, that it's still a mystery as to how Cooper knew about the UFO Marilyn thing when the document, this questionable or controversial document, didn't surface till 1995, a four-year difference. That's how Bob Wood basically got involved and interested, because Cooper had not just reports and files and documents and things on UFOs, crashed UFOs, but he also had clearly known years earlier in relation to, like as I said, Marilyn and UFOs. That was why Bob and Ryan got involved. They wanted somebody, now they'd bought the files from Cooper, they wanted somebody to be able to tell them, well, what have we got in all these thousands of pages? So that was my job, was to kind of make it all, you know, look readable and understandable, because it was just piled everywhere, you know.
Let's go back to the beginning with some of this, if we can, Nick. Like, probably, you know, there were people right at the beginning when Marilyn died who said that, well, I don't know. But who was the first kind of person to go, no, there's definitely something up here, and actually start to look into it, like back in the day when it happened? How long did it take?
You mean with the documents?
No, I mean with Marilyn, period. Like, when did somebody first go, no, I don't think that this was just drugs and alcohol, and started looking into it seriously? When did that start happening?
Oh, well, actually, that started literally weeks after she was found dead. I mean, there were rumors on the newspapers, you know, was this suicide or was it something more sinister, that kind of thing. Yeah, I mean, that started primarily so quickly because there were these concerns at that very same time, you know, that the diary had gone. People had come in and taken some of her possessions, you know, and then there were discrepancies between the staff in Marilyn's home, you know, that doors had been sort of suspiciously left open, which was never done. Sort of the bedding and the clothes were in the wrong places, and And
so how did this become a thing? Though, like, did it start in the tabloids or the newspapers, or was there someone who really took it seriously? Well,
it did start kind of like with the newspapers, with the tabloids. But behind the scenes, of course, you know, you've got the FBI files on Marilyn, and there are a number of really significant controversial documents put together by the FBI in those FBI files that talk about informants that the FBI had who said that, yes, she was murdered and it was a case of, like, drugs and alcohol and done in a very skillful way where you wouldn't be able to tell if she'd done it or it was done at somebody else's hand. Now, to go on even further...
Well, hang on before we do that, though. So what we are saying here, if I'm getting this clear, is that the FBI did do an official investigation to try and find out if it was murder or suicide or accidental death.
Yeah, that is correct. But what we don't have in the files is the conclusion of, well, what did you find, guys? You know, that's what we don't have. What we have is the angle of that the FBI had an informant who said that, yes, she was murdered, but it was done in such a skillful way, you wouldn't know it from one of her nightly binges, that kind of thing.
Like an informant? Like, what do you mean?
Yes.
Like an worked for the FBI, or that just came out of the woodwork?
Say that again, sorry.
Do you mean like an informant that worked for the FBI, or one that just came out of the woodwork and said, hey, guys, like, I know what happened?
Oh. Well, it was an informant who actually had sort of connections with security agencies and private security and things like that.
Were you able to follow that thread and find out, like, more about who that was and where they were?
The entire file is declassified and revealed. What we don't have, however, is the actual name. But it presents the person in a very sort of good light, so to speak. And, you know, it's one of these situations where it's like, wow, I mean, this is the FBI, you know, talking to a secret informant. And it's like a four-page document, extremely detailed, talking about the whole situation was going on.
That's Thorbreaker.
Okay.
More to come with Gene and Randall and Nick Redfern talking about the death of Marilyn Monroe. You're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
Health may be coming soon for businesses confused about new mask guidelines. The CDC says fully vaccinated people in most cases can go without masks, but there's no way for businesses to make sure if people are fully vaccinated or not. Dr. Anthony Fauci on Good Morning America Saturday.
Over the next few weeks, you're going to see more and more explicit, granular description of what can and cannot be done.
Fauci also says there's a possibility those who are fully vaccinated may need to get a booster shot at some point, but it's still too early to know for sure. Meanwhile, COVID cases spiking in the Latin America Caribbean region. This month alone, the region accounting for almost a third of all cases, despite having less than 10% of the world's population. George Floyd's family getting a White House visit. President Biden inviting the Floyd family to come Tuesday to mark the one-year anniversary of Floyd's death in Minneapolis. Biden hoping to get a police reform bill inspired by Floyd's case passed by Tuesday, but that's unlikely. The bill's still awaiting passage in the Senate after passing in the House. This is USA Radio News. Another peaceful day in the Middle East Saturday, the second day of a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. Egypt helping broker the ceasefire after 11 days of deadly fighting. Egypt now in talks with Israel on how to make the peace long-lasting. Texas Republican Congressman Ronnie Jackson says President Biden can help by getting tough with Iran.
We should be using our leverage right now with the Iranian nuclear deal to negotiate on behalf of Israel right now and put a stop to this. And we should have been doing it a long time ago.
Jackson speaking to One American News recently. U.S. Secretary of State Tony Blinken due to arrive in Israel this week for talks. Haitians getting another 18 months in the U.S. Biden yesterday granting Haitians temporary protected status. Homeland Security says Haiti has serious security concerns, social unrest, an increase in human rights abuses, crippling poverty, and lack of basic resources. An endurance race turns deadly in China. 21 people killed during a 62-mile ultramarathon Saturday. Chinese media says when the race started, it was sunny. But as the race went on, runners had to deal with freezing rain, hailstones, strong winds, and low temperatures that led to hypothermia. This is USA Radio News.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
All right, let's continue about this in this document you're talking about. 4 pages, lots of detail. Go on.
All right. Well, actually, yeah, the date when this document was declassified by the FBI was January 2006. It was actually a 3-page FBI document. The person who came to the FBI and told the story to the FBI is described as follows, as a quote now, as a former special agent who is currently field representative, appointment section, governor's office, state of California. So this is a guy who had done work, who worked for the FBI and had an ongoing
official deal.
Yeah, okay.
But this is a while after. Like, okay, so Marilyn dies in August 4th, 1962, right? So how long does it take for this informant to come forward?
Well, we don't know for sure. What we do know that as far as the document is concerned itself, the document is dated from the early 1960s. It actually 1962. So we're not talking about very long before the story came out, and it's added to it as well because it's sort of retrospectively talking about her death. Also, you know, this is what they did, that's what they did, etc., etc. Now, it also implicates in that particular document Marilyn's staff as being involved in her death as well. So that gets it into, like, really controversial areas, you know. And but, I mean, I'll give you one example of what it says. And bear in mind, again, this is from the words of a former FBI special agent who had gone off on his own work and then decided to do some following work himself. And this is just one quote. Robert Kennedy was deeply involved emotionally with Marilyn Monroe and had repeatedly promised to divorce his wife to marry Marilyn. That's just one of them. You know, really kind of, I would say bizarre, but incredible and sort of amazing stories behind the scenes. You know, you've got Robert Kennedy not just having an affair, which he's also mentioned in that same document, but that he promised Marilyn he would leave his wife. And that document, despite the sensational nature of it, one of the most intriguing things is that the original FBI file of Marilyn was opened in the 1980s. This one was kept hidden until 2006. So we're talking about, you know, a really inflammatory document being kept away until eventually, for whatever reason, somebody said, well, let's put it out there. You know, maybe somebody had a grudge. Maybe somebody on the inside wanted the story to come out and felt this was the best document to present, you know, that scenario.
Fascinating. I mean, there definitely is a whole web of different levels of intrigue going on with these people. But, you know, I don't necessarily just see people having affairs as being reasons to put a hit out on someone, right?
You're right. I mean, you don't just take somebody's head off because they're having an affair. The primary reason, as the story goes, is because that Marilyn had sort of an emotional connection to both of the Kennedys. Both of them reportedly dumped her, and she decided, well, to hell with them. I'm going to get my back on them, you know, and we'll see what happens now when I decide to go to all the press and tell them what they've been doing with me and telling me also what they've been telling me that I've been writing in my diary. No, you don't kill people just for an affair, but you might kill if it had all these added portions of the story to it as well.
What you think maybe somebody, if it was within the realm of officialdom, was thinking, well, you know, this could be destabilizing to the national...
Yeah. I think, you know, destabilizing in relation to this situation could actually happen just with the, you know, one of the other stories that the Kennedys told Marilyn, like, for example, plans to invade Cuba and kill Castro and do deals with the mafia and things like that, which were all on
right.
the card. All
right.
Of those
so you
card.
Got the whole Cold War, and the last thing they want is some political destabilization with some of the most beloved people in the United States that were actually, you know, holding the country together until one of them was killed, and then now the whole thing seems to be going all to hell kind of thing.
Yeah, and things like that can go, you know, can move really quickly, particularly if, you know, the people who you think are in charge realize they're not in charge of all the full cards. You know, they haven't got the full deck, but they think they have. And then the realization is, oh, my God, you know, we've just found out that the president decided to try and impress Marilyn into the bedroom and decided to tell her all about Cuba. And if that was true, that would be very dangerous, not just to the government, but also to Marilyn, because she would have been placed in this awkward position of being swamped with secrets that she probably could do without, you know.
But then again, of course, I mean, that just, it sounds like such a dark thing for a country like the United States to do to one of its own citizens. And I mean, it's not like that it hasn't done some pretty dark stuff, but wouldn't it have just been simpler to, you know, bring her in and kind of debrief her on the whole thing and go, hey, look, we know what's going on with you. You know, really, you need to chill with all of this. You know, and is there any evidence that somebody tried to just reason with her and talk to her? And
well, not you know, that I know of. I don't know of any evidence, you know, that scenario was played out or is planned on playing out. But then again, you know, some of these people, I mean, if something's going to be done, let's just make sure that there's no chance of things going wrong. You know, if you allow the person to, you know, let's just reason with the person, who's to say it's not going to work? You know, the sad thing is that murder is going to make sure that they're going to stay silent, you know.
Do you really think that the United States does that to its own citizens, though? I mean,
no, as I said, no, I don't. as I said earlier, I don't believe the U.S. government had any direct involvement in the death of Marilyn Monroe.
Well, who then? Who is behind this then? Like, what is it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm talking about like hired characters, you know, who will get in, do the job, and get out with their $50,000.
These are the people that you hire Jason Statham for in the movies, where they do these kind of semi-legal projects, or the Expendables. That's the kind of characters you hire, people like that who are, what, former military or...
Yeah, exactly. You know, where somebody, you know, you might, in any country, you know, you could find someone in a country who's a really good, you know, a crack target with a pistols and rifles and machine guns, and then he gets a knock on the door. Would you like to come and do a program for us, a job for us, a project? And no questions asked, here's your money.
I know who did it. I know who did it. But the guilty party is Jason Bourne.
but no, I don't believe that JFK had any knowledge. If the story's true, I don't believe JFK or RFK had any knowledge at all that Marilyn could end up dead. I think they saw her towards the end as a liability. That's how they viewed her. And they were perhaps worried, you know, looking back, realizing that they shouldn't have said what they said. But I don't think any of them, you know, discussed finding ways to get rid of her. But somebody in like a secret government kind of situation, I can easily see how they would do something along those lines. And then the Kennedys get the news and they're like, oh my God, you know, somebody's done.
Yeah, but that is like that's killing one of your own citizens. You can't just do that. Right?
We've got to do something right now. We've got one more segment to do with Nick and Gene and Randall, and then, of course, after the Paracast, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type, and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at AAN.com/concussion. That's AAN.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So, Randall, you said at the end of our previous segment, this is not something you do to an American citizen. Yeah, but we're talking here, though, about someone who had her hands and other parts of her anatomy involved with a president of the United States, an attorney general, got involved with some major figures that put her into a different category and maybe made her a danger. If it's not, of course, the Kennedys doing it, and Robert Kennedy was a pretty ruthless kind of guy, we forget that. What about the FBI? What about J. Edgar Hoover? He was a pretty ruthless kind of guy, too.
Well, no, again, I don't believe anybody from the official government was involved in the death of Marilyn Monroe. I don't believe any of the agencies were directly involved. Again, I think it's the best way to hide a story is to use the people who are essentially out of the loop. I mean, just because, you know, somebody kills Marilyn Monroe, it doesn't mean that person has any knowledge as to why they're doing that job. They're just being paid to do it. I'm sure if there was, like, a hypothetical killer, I don't believe that killer knew why she was being killed. I mean, you know, they wouldn't tell the assassin all about Roswell and dead aliens. I mean, that would put another kind of thorn in the situation.
Right. We're talking here about paid assassin. That paid assassin may do jobs for governments and private industry. So that doesn't dictate who might have hired that person.
No. I mean, another example is, for example, the JFK assassination. There were rumors for years that when he was killed, that assassins were flown in from all over the place, like some of the Middle East and elsewhere. They didn't, perhaps until the last minute, know what was going on, and then they left with their money back to their own country, which could be anywhere. When people say, you know, somebody like Marilyn is killed because of what she knew about U.S. secrets, doesn't actually mean that the U.S. government made an effort to kill him.
If anyone in the government's writing the check or making the phone call or even standing in the shadows smoking a cigarette off in the corner and kicking a briefcase over to the assassin, that puts them in the driver's seat, right?
Well, somebody is always, at some point, there's somebody who is appointed, you know. I mean, it's kind of like if you look back to, like, with the arms, the arms deals in 1986. Yeah,
right.
I mean, that's a situation where the government knew nothing about it at all. You know, Iran-Contra. Nobody really in government knew about it. Nobody outside of government knew about it. Yet we have this situation of these secret transfer of arms from the United States. Now, what that demonstrates is that great things went on, but the government, the elected government, knew hardly anything about it. And I kind of make that analogy with Marilyn. There was a kind of a government connection, but nobody within government really knew about it.
Also with Oliver North, he was convicted of a crime, but the first President Bush Sr., issued a pardon.
Yeah, because North basically was kind of like a pawn in the whole game kind of thing. They were trying to throw him under the bus, if I remember correctly, and he just said, that's not going to happen. That's pretty interesting, that whole thing. Actually, Nick, I just find it so hard to believe that a government would do something like that to one of its own, like just regular citizens. This wasn't a military thing. And yet, look at what happened at Kent State. They shot people from a university in cold blood. I guess if they can do that.
If you look at it from the perspective of the UK, very similar situations were sort of put out there when Princess Diana got killed. The idea that somebody in the British government wiped her out.
I think there's something to that. Yeah, they were having the whole referendum.
You could make parallels there, and with the Marconi scientists, 30 thereabouts personnel all dead under bizarre, weird circumstances.
That could be corporate, though, like Gene was saying. Gene, you made a really good point there, I think, where, we don't necessarily know it was the government. Maybe it's some corporate thing, because if there are these, suppose you've got some high-end corporate people who are dealing with the UFO thing because they're reverse engineering materials and all of the rest of that, they could have a lot to lose by having all of this, get blown wide open. And so, Nick, you're absolutely right. Maybe nobody in the government had anything to do with it, but somebody's private security firm working for one of these dark corporations might have.
Yeah, but there's also still always the possibility that somebody in government in power picks up the phone and says, hey, we need you to fix something. The person never says, need you to kill somebody. They will always phrase it in ways that could be interpreted differently, like an organized crime boss. They will never off this guy. They'll say something else.
We're going to put him on ice.
Yeah, that's true. But, that's exactly what I said. So for people cannot sort of, see it in any other way, I don't believe anyone in the U.S. government made a decision to kill Marilyn. But with an undercurrent and the rumors floating around, and maybe the stories about Marilyn are going to grow bigger about the affairs and the UFO story, and somebody who is deep within like the sort of secret government type situations, somebody like that decided Marilyn had to go. And I think everybody else was as shocked, the Kennedys, everybody else was as shocked as everybody else, because they were not in the link. The document itself, that Spiriglio document, the leaked document, doesn't say anything about the CIA killing Marilyn or anything like that. It's actually a document where the CIA was wiretapping Kilgallen purely and simply because the CIA was trying to find out what was going on with Marilyn and UFOs, because they didn't know. So that's another example as to how government can be out of the loop, but somebody, some sinister character, is within the loop, and they make that decision, and they're nothing to do with the official elected government.
Of course, there also could be private corporations that fund politicians, that donate huge sums of money, and we can mention, like, the Koch brothers, an example of people worth billions of dollars who put a lot of money into politics, and therefore they could get someone in their address book who is a politician or in authority anywhere else and ask for things to be done for their benefit. That's private industry having all sorts of power. And if you've got $50 billion in your checking account, you can just about do anything to anyone in a way that you may not be caught. We can continue this with After the Paracast, Nick Redfern, but tell our listeners, if they want to know more about the things that you do, where do they go?
People can reach me at my blog, which is World of Whatever, and it's nickredfern14.blogspot.com. But just look at Nick Redfern, World of Whatever. That's my blog, and people can reach me there. I'm always happy to chat, and people got questions, happy to answer, if I can. And the new book is Diary of Secrets, just released, and a study of the claims that Marilyn Monroe was murdered for what she knew about UFOs.
You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. You can also find us on Facebook. Also, we ask you to check out the Paracast.shop for branded merchandise. 4 different logos, good prices, good service. Check it out, the Paracast.shop. And don't forget the Paracast Plus. We offer the After the Paracast podcast, which will feature more from Nick Redfern this week. Also, you get a version of this show free of the network ads. How about that? And if you subscribe for 5 years or a lifetime, we will give you Amazon gift cards, so you can buy anything. You know, $10 for the 5-year subscription, $20 for the lifetime. Buy anything you want, even the phenomenon, the James Fox UFO documentary. And there's a new one that HBO Max has picked up that will be the next big UFO documentary. If you want to sign up with the Paracast Plus and get a quick sign-up screen, go to the Paracast.plus. The Paracast.plus. Nick Redfern is a blast, and we never can stop talking to him. Thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thanks, guys.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.